I see somebody there saying 22 over Pate Prats. I must say, if you think that's acceptable after what we saw on television last night, you are talking through your whatever, because those guys justified their salaries last night. That was watched by, you know, a billion people worldwide. Football, which was played at such a level that you couldn't take your eyes off it. The excitement, the absolute excitement, was amazing. Yeah, of course, there were mistakes. There was all sorts happening. There were controversy. There's everything in the cocktail of drama and theatre that makes it brilliantly entertaining. And I say again, well done to Tottenham Hotspur for winning the game over the two legs. Well done indeed. But it was arguably one of the best games I've ever seen on television. Michael Clark's a football commentator. Morning, Michael.
Morning, Frank.
Michael, is it fair to say one of the best games ever broadcast?
Yeah, I think so. We've never seen drama quite like that, have we? When you factor in VAR and what that brings with it. You see the pictures of Raheem Sterling celebrating what he thinks is the goal to send his side through after a tremendous performance by him and his teammates, Kevin De Bruyne in particular. And then all of a sudden, hold on a moment, it's being reviewed, which we still haven't quite gotten used to, if we're being honest. And then, oh, there's been an offside, which I think most of us in the heat of the moment probably missed. And Guardiola since said, yeah, probably was the right decision, but it doesn't make it any easier to take, I think, Frank, if you're a Man City fan, to think you've done it and then realise, hold on, that's not the case.
And especially for Raheem Sterling, because he wasn't the one that was offside. So he knew he was onside. He had scored, what was in his opinion, the winning goal. He celebrates. He's playing like one of the best players on the planet at the minute. And then it's disallowed because earlier in the move, Aguero had been offside. People are saying, and I see a couple of gags here, you know, MasterCard sponsor, Champions League, the expression on Sterling's face when the goal is disallowed, priceless, of course, because he did definitely look, he went from one extreme emotion of brilliant joy through to devastation in the space of about a minute. And that he amplified or exemplified how we all felt who were following City. I did a lap of the front room of the house to come back to see the VAR decision, and I thought, oh, for goodness sake, not more drama on top of everything,
Frank,
everything that we've seen.
One of my very good friends is a Tottenham fan, and he didn't even realise Spurs have gone through. When that hit the net, he turned his TV off and he said more than a few expletives, and he didn't realise. So we were all texting each other, one, you know, back and forth, and he said, "What? We've won? What? He hasn't a clue." And you know, that is the reality of how important that game was last night for both of those teams. And it was a bananas game of football. I mean, the way the goals were hitting the back of the net, what did we see? 4 goals in the first 11 minutes, was it? It was just nuts. And the fastest 4 goals in Champions League history in one game, eclipsing a previous record. So the game was so... I feel sorry for anyone that got home at half-time and turned the TV on almost. You're going, well, what have I missed? It was, I'm so glad I was able to sit down and enjoy the entire thing as a neutral, which is a very, there's not many neutrals in football, I suppose, but getting to sit and watch that and just take it all in, it was breathtaking, and you definitely weren't getting up to make a cup of tea during it.
It was incredible, absolutely incredible. Who do you reckon can win the Champions League now? You know, Tottenham, in my opinion, have overcome an immense hurdle in beating Man City. People would say, I would say that anyway, but I believe they have. However, it's hard to see past Liverpool. I know you'll say Barcelona are going to be in the final and they'll beat Liverpool, but maybe you're not, but Liverpool are a class team.
They are, and I think if you're Jurgen Klopp, if you took time, and I'm sure he will do now, to watch the two legs against Manchester United, he will see where a Man United team that's some way off the pace to being where Liverpool are at created problems for Barcelona in the second leg at the Nou Camp. United in the first couple of minutes had two very good opportunities to get through and score, and one hit the crossbar and one was a poor touch and never came to pass. But if you're Liverpool and you're thinking, well, we've Sadio Mane, we've Mo Salah, we've Bobby Firmino, those chances probably lead to goals rather than missed opportunities. And if you score, there was one, you know, if United had scored, it's a completely different ball game, and I think that's going to be one of the main differences, that Liverpool have the quality of players to take the chances when they create them, and the pace, the sheer scintillating pace on a counter-attack that Liverpool have, I think could potentially devastate Barcelona, so they're going to be very nervous, and the way that Barcelona play, it's not as good a Barcelona side as we've seen in previous years, if we're being honest. They've got Lionel Messi, so you can never rule them out of any fight, but I see no reason why Liverpool should be quaking in their boots at the prospect of facing them. This is Liverpool's best chance of winning the Champions League. Last year, they came up against a Real Madrid side and in the final, and at the end, where we're talking about goalkeeping errors and a wonderful overhead kick. This time, I'm going, if you can get past Barcelona, you've Ajax or Tottenham, and with the best will in the world, that's winnable. If you're Liverpool, you must be looking at that and going, this is our year. Why can't we do a famous double?
So, answer that question for me. Are Liverpool going to win the Champions League and the Premier League?
And this is where I contradict myself. I don't think they will. Because it's a massive ask. There's a reason why it's something that most teams dream of and seldom achieve. And I just wonder if on both fronts they'll be able to do it. You wonder if Man City might just go now with increased focus and be able to win the remaining games in the Premiership. They have a tougher run in. I would hate to be Spurs playing them on Saturday. I daren't say it's not just as important now to Tottenham as it would have been had they have been on the opposite end of the result last night. So Man City probably get the win, and then I think it's going to boil down to if Man City can beat Manchester United, which Man United fans for the day might be really struggling to figure out which side of Manchester they're rooting for. I still think City might just pip them for the league. Yeah. But it's very, very hard to call.
That's what makes it such a great game, the fact that Manchester United fans don't really want Manchester United to beat Manchester City, because Liverpool end up winning the Premier League and Liverpool are their greatest rivals. It's such a crazy, crazy cocktail. But I've got feeling that it is now advantage Liverpool. I think Liverpool can win the Champions League. I'll put it like this. I think whoever wins between Liverpool and Barcelona will win the Champions League, and Liverpool can beat Barcelona. As for the Premier League, I have a feeling that City will probably beat Spurs this weekend, but they'll be exhausted on Wednesday night. And I think United will draw with them and possibly beat them. And that's what it will, that will be their undoing. Sheer exhaustion after everything they've been through. But Michael, we started this conversation by talking about value for money. Football is value for money. That's why we buy a card to watch it on Sky, to watch it on BT Sport. There's nothing to match it.
No, there is not at all. I mean, people are going to talk about this for ages. And the funny thing was, when VAR got introduced, people were saying, we're not going to have these debates anymore. I've spoken to plenty of people this morning that are still saying, did Llorente use his arm? Did he not use his arm? And we've seen the replay a million times already. And regardless of what anybody says, people are still going to take their own view from it. It's an incredible game. And I honestly feel sorry for anyone that doesn't enjoy it. How could you not enjoy 7 goals, drama and extra time? And both managers, I mean, look at the raw emotion. They were throwing their coats around. They were it was every emotion you could possibly imagine somehow mixed into about 60 seconds right at the end. And it's just brilliant. It almost leaves you exhausted watching it. You couldn't even comprehend what those players and their staff and everything are going through in those closing moments. I think probably today, Christian Eriksen is the most relieved man in the entire world, however.
True. And for people who don't realise what you mean by that, he made the mistake that led to the Raheem Sterling goal. And Raheem Sterling's winning goal was disallowed in the end. Michael, great speaking to you. Thanks, fella. Thank you very much.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Frank.
Michael Clark there with us, talking us through the joys of football. I see some of you are saying VAR is going to ruin the game. In many ways, VAR made the game last night. Where do you get drama like it? You know, it certainly ruined my night, but it made the night for Tottenham fans. And in fairness, I think the goal that went in off the arm stroke thigh was a legitimate goal. And of course, the Aguero moment in the move, he was offside. And it was proven by VAR. Oh dear, oh dear. The heartache. Right. The joy, of course, if you're a Spurs fan. Fair play to you. Gary, what do you think?
Oh, Frank, you've robbed it. Going by the rules of the game, and if the referee, if you watch where the referee looked, at the incident on VAR. He only looked at it from the one angle. When we were seeing it in the house, and you seen it coming off his arm, the referee in the studio was saying it struck his arm before it struck his thigh, so therefore it's a non-goal. So I think it's Varov. But a couple of points, Frank. You asked him who could win the Champions League. I want to see Liverpool win it, but beware of Ajax. I'm telling you, if you do anything in your life, Frank, watch Ajax against Juventus the other night. That was total football. It was like watching Cruyff and all over again. And they were making, in Juventus's backyard, they were making wee boys of them. And the only thing that probably didn't happen, it should have happened, it shouldn't have been 2-1. The game should have been put to bed. So it should have. So I would say just avoid it. Just be wary of Ajax and you know, take them lightly at your peril. That would go to Spurs and that too. But I think you were definitely robbed. So and what a game of football. But people don't know about VAR. That last night, my goodness. You know, it was just a joy to watch. I had both games on. I had the Liverpool game on the computer beside the TV, and she was cracking up. I was like the wee man of the olden Fools and Horses watching two TVs at once.
That's what it's about, Gary. That's why it is the best fun you can have. I love it. Even though we did lose and I felt so low, but you've all summed it up so well. Incredible theatre, incredible drama, and maybe we are underestimating Ajax. That is a very, very good point. Gary, thank you. It's coming up on 20 to 11.
Hi, Jerry Lang here. Why don't you pop in and join me here on U105, Monday to Thursday? We've got our music tree, we've got our storyline, we've got our extended 80s. We've also got the pop quiz where you can win such wonderful prizes as little MP3 radio players. And instead of an annual AGM, we'll have a nightly AGM. You'll have to tune in to find out what that is. That's the U105 Jukebox with me, Jerry Lang, Monday to Thursday, 7 o'clock to midnight. U105.
And you're listening to the U105 phone-in. Whatever's on your mind on the countdown to Easter, we'd like to hear from you. 028 90 33 105. Is there something happening in your town, your village, up your street? And you think, hey, I want to tell Frank about that on the radio. It doesn't have to be a mammoth event. The lines are open and the platform's yours. I mentioned rolling the eggs on Easter Sunday. I see some of you say you do it on Easter Monday. You can let us know. I would have thought it was an Easter Sunday activity, but maybe you delay it a day. What do you do? How do you celebrate Easter? Traditionally, we would have gone to the likes of Clockmore, which is the big stone, as you would imagine. Clockmore, that's what it means in Irish, just above Ross Trevor. And we would have had a picnic, and then we would have gone to Bullock Hill, which is overborne, and rolled eggs and had a bit of crack. Over to my cousin Dimpness, over to my auntie Kitty's, ate buns, licked the icing off the top of them, left the rest of it for somebody else to eat. I remember all the things that we did at Easter. Those are three memories that stick out in my mind. Clockmore, Bullock Hill, and my auntie Kitty's. Just fabulous, fabulous memories. And sometimes with Bullock Hill, all the cousins would come. And there'd be cousins, hundreds of them. And there'd be, you know, even though there was a football pitch, which was only about 50 metres away down the hill, they would play football on a flat piece of grass up on the hill, just on the flat piece where they, you know, on a big steep hill, Bullock Hill, very steep, sort of gorsy, whinny sort of field. And there was a bit of flat pitch, a bit of flat grass in it. And there would have been a game, maybe 40 or 50 people playing. Those are my memories of Easter Sunday. Talk us through yours, feel free. Malachy's got a point. Good morning, Malachy.
How you doing, Frank? Just listen to your commentary. Unfortunately, I only got to see the highlights of the match last night, but I knew it was going to be an absolute cracker. The same with the match the night before, Barcelona. The thing I think you're missing is, I'm not a big soccer fan. And the day I was, but I think it's just so commercialised, so expensive, and the game is boring beyond belief with tactics in the Premiership. The only time you will get value for money when it comes to soccer is in a knockout competition. Should that be the FA Cup or the Champions League? And when I was a kid, I remember the Champions League was complete knockout. There's none of this, you know, there's none of these leagues where you qualify, because realistically, the competition only starts hotting up when you get to a knockout, such as last night. Attack. Your tactics go out the window. You've got to score goals. So before you even kick a ball, you've got to go out there and say, now we'll play defensive. No, you can't. We've got to score one goal or whatever. So the whole tactics change. The crowd is buzzing for it, and the atmosphere is fantastic. And even the neutral in a knockout competition, it's you're on the edge of your seat. That's why boxing is such a good game, because you just don't know. But it's winner takes all, and it's hell for leather. And, you know, at the end of the day is the end of the day. Did it go in off his arm? Did it go in off his head? Who cares? You know, who cares if it come off the back of the referee's head 3 minutes in injury time? Hit the bar, goalkeeper hit it, and then within the net. That's what makes the game the game. But what you see for 40 weeks in a year is just born beyond belief.
Well, it's interesting. I find it very entertaining, and I watch as much football as I can. Of course, VAR is there now, and if it goes in off the referee or in off your man's arm, it's going to be disallowed or whatever. Maybe not if it goes in off the referee. That'd be interesting, actually. What is the rule if the ball went in off the referee as far as VAR would be concerned? We could fill an hour. We could fill an hour on that. However, as for it going in off an arm or a leg, it either adds to the excitement or takes the excitement out of it. Last night, it without doubt added to the excitement. It affected my heart last night. I'm still depressed as a result of the outcome. But Malachy, you made an interesting assessment there. When it used to be winner takes all and you didn't go through group stages, it was much more exciting. Do you follow the Gaelic at all?
I love the hurling, Frank. Right. I absolutely love the hurling. I think the hurling championship last year was the best sport on television, bar none.
I have to agree with you. Hurling played at its best is one of the most exciting games on the planet. The idea of having a championship where, you know, you could say it can only happen in Ireland where you have 32 counties and they don't actually play it in a 32-16, 8-4-2 because it's the obvious thing to do. They divide it up, obviously, into the provincial competitions. But whenever you have the Ulster Championship, the Munster Championship, the Leinster Championship, and the Connacht Championship, they used to play it winner takes all. You got knocked out, you were out. But they have since given this, you know, option of back doors and second chances. Do you not feel that that takes the excitement out of it?
100%. You mean, I think in any sport and occasion, when you've only got one day at it, even if you're playing an underdog and you're a top team, you have got to be very worried, because every single team that you play sees their chance to go into immortality. And even if it's only you're playing Manchester United or even in a GAA or any soccer team at all, do you know what I mean? Like, even if you take the Open golf, like, people watch golf think it's boring, but if you don't watch the Masters even at the weekend, again, it's winner takes all. You have five guys. If dog doesn't like golf. You have five guys challenging for the Masters title, you know, with four holes to play. Now, you may think golf is boring, but it's exciting stuff. Because,
of course,
it's,
yeah.
You know, guy goes into the lake, disaster, he's lost everything. Football, to me, it's all about the knockout. And if you train a team, should it be GAA, that's why the championships, you know, the hurling, when you get to the quarterfinals, the semi-finals, you have 80,000 people in quarter, and it's winner takes all. I do believe in the GAA that they should have a hooter the same as they have in America, because see, when you're watching a GAA match and your team's playing and it's up to the referee's discretion to blow and there's 1 point in it, I think it's heart attack soup stuff. It really is.
They're playing for the draw. Malachy, some great points. Thank you very, very much indeed. 0289033105. There are a number of things Malachy said there. One of them is flashing in the back of my mind, which I'll bring up again in a moment or two. Yeah, it's about the golf, where he knows from me speaking on the programme that I'm not overly excited personally by golf. I thoroughly understand the excitement that other people get, and the Masters with Tiger recently was a prime example of that. But I could come in here and have a conversation with Morris, who's in the breakfast show. He lives, sleeps, eats golf, and the excitement he gets from that is comparable with the excitement I get from football, and vice versa. He doesn't get it from football. So it's whatever sport you're into that does it for you. Eddie has a point. Morning, Eddie.
Good morning, Frank. I feel so sorry for City. They could have gone far.
Eddie, I'm glad you come on with that. I'm glad you did.
I'm sure you are, Frank, because, I mean, I listen to you and I
love you. I'm very, very happy that you come on.
You know I'm on quite a lot, but I could not wait. I was going out this morning and I had the car radio and I said, oh, I hope he'd probably still be talking about football by the time I get back. I have to get on. I'm not going to give you a hard time. I want to praise Tottenham. I am a Tottenham supporter, but I really want to praise. I mean, they really put their heads down. They were going to get annihilated the way City was playing in that first 20 minutes. Aiden the Low Spurs got two of those goals, but absolutely brilliant. And now, I mean, I'm in reality, and not from the heart, but from the head, I think they can go on a minute. You were saying this morning, whoever wins between Liverpool and Barcelona, I think if Spurs could go on and win this.
Well, they just might. Any one of the four of them can win it. And Eddie, you are right. They played brilliantly last night. And Son, the goals, the way he took those goals, that man is absolutely brilliant.